hello and welcome to our service today. Those of you who are here in church, it looks like our biggest congregation yet, midweek. And those of you too who are watching at home, you are really welcome. And particularly if you're watching in for one of the first times, we're particularly warm welcome to you. Today we're going to be thinking about Pentecost. If you're watching on Sunday, it will be all perfect timing for you. Those here, it's a little bit early for, and those watching afterwards, it'll be a little bit late for. But you know, the great news is that the Holy Spirit has come, and we can be filled and refreshed and refilled at any time. I want to just invite us to still our hearts as we come to worship God this morning. Just be open to God's Spirit. His Spirit is in this place. Just be open to all that he wants to do amongst us in this service. Do join in with the responses in white as we just remind ourselves of who the Holy Spirit is and some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in us. Come, Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God's breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. And we're going to, if you're here, listen. If you're at home, sing along to our first song, which is that great hymn, O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us. Feel free to stand, feel free to sit, whatever is going to be helpful for you. Take a seat, and in a moment we're going to come and confess before God. But I wanted to share something that I read this morning with you. I'm reading this book called Gentle and Lowly, which seems to be the Christian book of the moment. And I just thoroughly recommend it to you. But in the chapter, it's the sort of book where you just have to read a chapter a day and just dwell in it and take it in. But in the chapter I was reading this morning, it was focusing on a verse from Hebrews 5, verse 2, which says about Jesus, "He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness." And the book particularly is focusing on the gentleness of Jesus. And I want to read this to you as we come to confess. It says, "Consider what this means. When we sin, we are encouraged to bring our mess to Jesus, because he will know just how to receive us. He doesn't handle us roughly. He doesn't scowl and scold. He doesn't lash out the way many of our parents did. His restraint simply flows from his tender heart for his people." Hebrews is not just telling us that instead of scolding us, Jesus loves us. It's telling us the kind of love he has. Rather than dispensing grace to us from on high, he gets down with us. He puts his arm around us. He deals with us in the way that is just what we need. He deals gently with us. And so knowing that God, that Jesus deals gently with us when we come to confess, knowing that he comes down and puts his loving arms around us, let us come and say these words together. So Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And so, friends, receive his gentle forgiveness. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This week has been Thy Kingdom Come Week, and I wonder whether you've been one of the many around the globe who has been praying for five people this week. We've heard one or two really nice stories of as people have prayed for individuals, what God has done this week. And the important thing to realise is this isn't just for this week that we pray for five, is it? But actually we go on being committed to praying for individuals. And I want to show a 2-minute inspiring video, which was part of the videos that have been released this week daily from Thy Kingdom Come, which I think it was a couple of days ago now, was this amazing video of this man who just had a story of being committed to praying for individuals. Listen and be inspired to pray yourselves.
My granddad was Stuart Betts, and he was an amazing man, brother, friend.
His main thing was his faith in God, so that was how he started the day, finished the day.
Granddad, out of anyone in my life, showed me the most joy, And I'm reminded of that all the time, how much joy a man of 90 years old with cancer and all sorts of problems, you know, that he had his, you know, granny, his wife just died, and you know, but he showed so much joy.
He would get up in the morning, make a cup of tea, and he would do his Bible reading and his praying down here in the morning, and then he had this prayer book which expanded and expanded, and he prayed for different people every day. So he would meet someone, and then if they had a problem or something that needed praying for, he'd put that by the side of it. And there's just pages and pages of names, just little notes of different needs as well, intertwined with all these names. It's incredible.
And so often he would pray for us, so he would get up and he would pray for us as grandchildren. I think there's 15 grandchildren, and they all love Jesus, and many of them are working for churches, many of them are on aid or doing amazing things for Jesus, and I put that down to his prayer over the years. It just must, there must be a connection between his prayer and our faith, and how important it is to each one of us.
It has definitely been an inspiration to me to keep my faith simple. I think that he would just like to get the message out there for people to keep praying and keep persisting and maybe have a prayer diary. It's enjoyable as well. He enjoyed it, and he had a relationship with God, and he wanted to pass that on to other people.
You can't put a figure or a number on prayer, but actually it's probably worth way more than we could ever dream of or imagine. Yeah.
What a great story. What a great inspiration. And, you know, I've watched that, and I've had prayer diaries at times. I'm not using one at the moment, but it just, I've watched that three times now, and it's just as powerful the third time round. And it makes me want to just go and get a new prayer diary and start and do the same, doesn't it? Why don't we just pause now, and maybe if you've been praying for five people this week, why don't you just pray for those five now? Or perhaps if you haven't, just think of some of your family like he's prayed for so faithfully, and let's just offer them to God in the silence. Lord, thank you that you take our prayers and you just breathe your life into them, and that prayer changes things and transforms. Help us to be faithful in prayer for others, we pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at the promise of the Spirit, and Joe in a moment is going to come and speak to us, but first we're going to have our reading from Jutta.
The reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, 14 and 14 to 24. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of the wicked man, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello everyone. It's nice to see you once again. It's a long time since I've been able to be here with you in church like this, so it's great to see you. And what a great day to be meeting up together, the day of Pentecost, as we just heard read from the scriptures. Well, we're thinking particularly of the promises of God, and we've thought about his blessing, the promise of his blessing, and then his rest, promise of his healing, which I'm sure we've got more to learn about, but we've just started to nibble at the edges, haven't we, once again? And today, then, we're thinking of the promise of his Spirit, which really is the key to all the others, isn't it? It's the foundation of all the others. And, you know, does God do what he says he will? Does God keep his promises? Well, I hope you was at the back there saying, yes, 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 he does. I know that because. But some people don't know that. They don't know God keeps his promise. They don't even know who God is or believe in him. But we do. And I think this is part of the most important event in the whole of humanity. The first one was the birth of Jesus, God incarnate, bringing salvation. The second one was Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the grave, bringing new life and life in all its abundance. And this, the third one of this package was the fulfillment of the promise that the Holy Spirit would come and do all those things in that wonderful song. Gosh, wasn't that wonderful that we've just sung? All the works of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do and be to us. So Pentecost was a pivotal point. It was a game changer, wasn't it, in the whole of mankind, if we look at it like that. It was a faith changer. And we've just been able to read that from Acts. So I suppose I think of this as the drama of Pentecost, a promise kept, vessels, empty vessels filled, and the powerless energized. There's three things. A promise kept. A promise from many, many years before to the people of God. I reckon about 700 years, perhaps, was when Joel was prophesying this prophecy in the nation which had just been devastated by a terrible plague, the nation which was then under attack from its enemies along its borders, and had wandered, as so often was the case, wandered away from God. How does that ring? How does that resonate to us perhaps today? And God, through the prophet Joel, says, I will, in those days, I will pour out my spirit on all people, on all people. Your sons, daughters, servants, men, women, everyone, everyone. And that is really, really a significant point. Just to go back a little way, of course, we've just been in a period of the Ascension. couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago. And that was the time, of course, when Jesus left this earth. He didn't die again, of course, we know that. But he left this earth and went back to be with his Father. And he had just a few weeks of ministry left towards his disciples and gave them very clear instructions about what to do. And he said that they were to wait in Jerusalem for the gift God had promised. In a few days, he said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in spite of the disciples' puzzlement and questions, he reiterated they would receive power when the Spirit came upon them in order to be able to do the work that he'd set before them, to be his witnesses, both in their local area and city and the area around and into the whole world. And Jesus also reminded them that he would teach, the Holy Spirit would teach them and remind them of everything that he'd said. So in those last few days and weeks, he gave them some very important instructions. Unfortunately, the disciples obeyed and they waited. They waited throughout the transitional time, from the time that he ascended back into heaven and left these instructions, and when the promised Spirit was going to come. And Jesus said in a few days he will come. Well, they didn't really know how long it was going to be. I mean, a day can be as 1,000 years in the timing of God. So it was a little bit of an uncertainty. They're a little bit in limbo, waiting, not knowing quite what to expect, knew the Holy Spirit was coming, but what did that mean and how would it come? And will we know when he comes, or will we miss it? And I thought, how good is God? They couldn't have missed it if they'd tried, could they? When they were there all together in the upper room, waiting in that time of in between. But they weren't disconsolate, not like when they were waiting or they were together after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, when they were, devastated and lost and didn't know what to do with themselves and ended up going back to their previous occupations, some of them. No, it wasn't like that. They'd had this promise from Jesus and they trusted, because they'd known now, having seen him rise from the dead and seen that he'd done what he said he would, because he told them that he would. And that reassured them. So there they were in the upper room, worshipping, praying, discussing, fellowshipping, eating, drinking, celebrating the Feast of Pentecost as people poured into the city for that purpose from all parts of the known world to celebrate the harvest, the early harvest, Pentecost, at that particular time. One of the important tasks they had to do was find a replacement for Judas, who, of course, had been taken out of the picture. And they elected Matthias to replace him. So they were sort of busy, not just sitting idle, twiddling their thumbs, looking up to the sky, but they were there together with one mind, trusting and hoping and waiting for this promise that Jesus was bringing them. And then the drama happened, of course. The very day came. Fairly early in the morning, it must have been, because later on Peter said, well, it's only early. It's early in the day. So the day of Pentecost arrived, and the promise of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled. They'd been waiting, the nation, all those many years, and yet it was being fulfilled at this very moment when Jesus had ascended into heaven. He was sending his power to enable his followers, his disciples, to do the job he'd laid out for them. And I'm sure a lot of us know the story anyway, but I find this one of the most exciting parts in the scriptures. I find the Acts of the Apostles the most amazing book that you could ever read, because I put my name in there and think, my goodness, this is what God was saying. This is what Jesus was saying. This is where you're going to be. This is what it's going to be like. And that I find that really exciting in terms of the context of our our life on earth here as Christians. So there they were, and they heard the sound like a blowing, rushing wind, and on cue, you can hear the wind blowing outside. I don't know why it does, but when the wind really blows strongly, we live up on the hill, and there's this, ooh, it sort of goes through the house, and I think there must be a gap in the window frame or something that whistles through, and it whistles through the letterbox. I don't know if that happens at your house. Perhaps you're better insulated than we are. But they heard this violent rushing wind filling the whole house where they were, howling perhaps and screeching, blowing the shutters and rattling locks on the doors and so on, and very dramatic. And not only did they hear, but they saw this great ball of fire, this mass of fire, which then broke up and distributed to each one a single tongue, a tongue of flame to each one. I like that picture, the mass of fire, and then it divided up and settled on each one, bringing that individual experience, bringing gifts, perhaps for the future at that time, and so on. How terrifying, how amazing, how awakening must that have been. Strong wind, bowling you over, knocking you away. I don't know if the wind's ever blown you down. Two things I can remember. Once climbing North Hill with a friend from church, which we did regularly, and on this day it was really, really windy, and we just got up there, and without any introduction, we were going, woo, woo, like this, like children do, you know, running up and down. And we just thought, wow, God, you're just like the wind. And we had this amazing moment of worship in the rushing wind. And it was exhilarating. But I also remember a time climbing one of the smaller mountains near Snowdon, where the wind was so very strong, I couldn't stand up. It flattened me over, and we hadn't even got very high then, so it was very dangerous, and we didn't go up onto the summit. But the wind is powerful, and God's Spirit is powerful and can give us such power as we trust him and allow him to fill us. And so God poured out his Spirit just as he said he would, just as he'd promised in the time of Joel. And God fulfilled. He doesn't forget. He hadn't forgot. He hadn't forgotten. And it's easy to forget God's promises. And we need to just hang on there, because what God says, he will do. We need to keep that trust in him. He says, I will pour out my Spirit in that prophecy. He didn't say, well, I might do. Or maybe if I'm in the right mood on that day, I will. Or he didn't say, well, if you're good enough, I will. He said, I will. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And the whole crowd outside wondered. Of course they would wonder, wouldn't they? Wouldn't you, if you've got people tottering about outside, shouting and praising God? You'd think they were drunk. You'd think they were mad. But of course, Peter put them right on that and explained that this was a momentous time in their history, that God was fulfilling the promise that he'd made many, many years before. And what was the result? There was transformation. There was chaos, but there was order and transformation. And the Spirit hit where it hurt, if you like, if that's a reasonable term to. Their hearts were cut to the core. These people who heard, people from all over the known world, from North Africa and Libya and places round about. There's a whole list there of exotic names that you can read. But they said, they were cut to the core. They were overwhelmed and said to Peter, what shall we do? What shall we do? And he said, repent, repent, and come to God and receive his Spirit for yourself. And they turned to God, 3,000 or so of them. How amazing is that? 3,000 people just after that small demonstration received God and his forgiveness. They were transformed. And not only that, the disciples were totally transformed. If we think of the disciples that we hear about before Jesus, when they were walking and following and being with Jesus, and afterwards, when the Holy Spirit had come, they were absolutely turned around and revolutionized. And that's the exciting bit when you read in the Acts of the Apostles all the things that they were called to do. Peter and John healing the crippled man at the beautiful gate. More people impacted by the Spirit. At a prayer meeting, this I found interesting, in Acts 4, at a prayer meeting the disciples prayed for healing, miraculous powers, wonders, receiving another filling, boldness to speak, witness, boldness to minister. That's what they were praying. There's a message for us, isn't it? Yeah, maybe our prayers ought to be a bit more like that when we're all meeting together. And so it goes on. Miraculous release from prison. Philip, who we don't hear a lot about until now, running alongside the Ethiopian's carriage, spreading the gospel. He took it then down to East Africa. And so we could go on. Look it up. Read it. Read it like a novel if you haven't read it lately. And this was all before Paul the Apostle came on the scene. They'd had a good start, hadn't they, the disciples? So under the power of the Spirit, God's message of love and salvation and transformation and power came to many, many people right down through the ages to humble Malvern today here in this church as we're thinking about this amazing gift, this amazing promise that God fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. God kept his promise. At his appointed time, he sent the Holy Spirit. And that promise has never been rescinded. It is still there. It is still being outworked in his church today. And it's our job to take hold of that, to take the power that he offers us in order to carry on fulfilling his ministry of good news here on earth. His power hasn't been watered down. I think it's interesting to just think that, you know, what the disciples did, we can do. You know, we can. God's Spirit hasn't been watered down. It hasn't changed since that day, all the time. So how do we do it? Well, we ask. We ask and we receive. And God says, keep asking, keep asking. This is, I've said this before, but this is the only time when greed is allowed. You can be greedy for the Holy Spirit, and he will continually restore us and fill us. And when I was a seeking Christian, I suppose I could say, I felt I believed in God and trusted him to some extent, but I didn't really know. And I thought, it's got to be more than just coming to church, chanting psalms, standing up and sitting down and all of that. It's got to be more than just doing that once a week, or however you fit it in. And this was what the more was. Being empowered as God filled us with his Holy Spirit. And maybe we just need to pause, really, as part of our service, and think about those things and ask God just to meet with us and fill us again on this day of Pentecost, to do what he promised he would in our own lives and hearts. It's very easy to become dry, isn't it? Especially lately, when we've been through so much separation together. Well, that sounds funny. Separation from each other is what I mean. And when faith has been challenged and we've had disappointments, where our energy level has dropped, and I feel all of these things myself. I feel I've aged 10 years in the last year. Perhaps if you get up close, you'll notice perhaps that I have. But it had its toll, hasn't it? And maybe we feel disorientated. But God can revitalize us and rejuvenate us and re-envision us in this way. And I don't know if this is the right time to just mention any particular thoughts I might have had professing here. If that's all right, Dave, just a moment. Yes, I talked about asking, because God will only give good gifts to us. He won't give us a snake or a scorpion. So don't be frightened. Sometimes we get frightened that it's going to be too much for us. It'll never be too much. It'll be like the reading we had, the gentleness of God gives us what we need to have. And he can recommission us and re-envision us. And I just felt God was saying one or two particular things. And obviously we have to come to him in humility and confession and ask his forgiveness, and he will give us strength. But I felt God saying, you know, if there's anyone here that's been wounded by a broken promise, he wants to mend that. He wants to mend that woundedness and heal us. And especially if it's been a strong promise, like an oath or a vow, God can bring healing into those broken situations. And that was just one thing. And the other thing, I've forgotten my picture. It's nearly filled with water, and I was going to pour it out, but well, I can do it here. You know, God wants to just pour out in a living stream of water into our lives, the fullness of the Spirit into our empty lives. And that's what God wants to do. But I also thought this. I bought this because I've done my study out, and it's got a different colour. And I thought, oh, that'll go nicely in the window. And my friend said, oh, that's a nice picture. What are you going to do with it? And I'm just going to stick it in the window. It's an ornament, you know. And she said, oh, what a pity, because it would be lovely, you know, providing water and refreshment for a bunch of flowers. And I just felt God said, you know, do you want to be an ornament for me, or do you want to be a vessel to be filled and used? Do you want to be an ornament for me, just, or do you want to be a vessel to be filled? And I said, I want to be a vessel to be filled. And that's my prayer for us today, that we will be vessels to be filled, to provide refreshment, to be empowered to go out into his world. In the name of Jesus, may he enable us to do that and bring his kingdom in at this time. I'll let David pray.
Thank you so much, Joe. And just I want to invite you to hold on to those things that Joe's just mentioned, particularly those things if you've been wounded by broken promises. If you feel perhaps maybe just recently you've been an ornament rather than a vessel to be filled. You know, maybe God is just gently inviting you to step out. And it's lovely how sometimes songs just tie in with what the speaker says. We're going to hear a song and reflect on this now, which Jo just used the words that she realised just several years ago, that there's got to be more than this. And that is exactly what we're going to hear played now. So I would love to invite you, for some it might be appropriate to stand and just hold out your hands just as being open to God. You might want to sit, you might even want to kneel. But just I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear the song. And we're just going to allow God's Spirit to do what God's Spirit wants to do among us. So, Father God, we just thank you for that word from Joe. Thank you for the story of Pentecost. Thank you for the promise of the Spirit. And there's so much more that we haven't even mentioned today that we'll talk about next week too. But we come to you with open hearts and say, will you come and fill us afresh? Come and heal the wounds. Come and fill us where we're dry. Come and transform us where we're broken. Come and empower us where we're weak. Come and fill us afresh to speak of Jesus wherever we go, and to be used by you as his living water. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
us with power from on high. Now set the captives free. Leave us abandoned to your praise.
Your way, Lord. Come, have your way with us. Ruth's going to continue to lead us in prayer.
We praise you, O God, because you gave the Holy Spirit to the first Christians, making the power of Jesus real to them, teaching them truth and giving them the power to witness boldly. Fill us with the Holy Spirit in the hearts of thy faithful people and kindle within us the fire of thy love through Jesus Christ our Lord. May your Spirit make us wise. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit renew us. May your Spirit strengthen us that we will be strong in faith, discerning in the proclamation and courageous in witness, persistent in good deeds. This we ask through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, in these dark and difficult days, we turn our hearts to you. In ages past, you have delivered our nation from disaster. Please do it again, we pray. Give wisdom beyond human wisdom to our leaders. Give strength to the NHS and all our frontline workers. Give comfort beyond those who are frightened of side effects. We pray for India and the other countries that are struggling with illness and death from COVID. Give them comfort that they will soon be vaccinated. We pray for peace between Israel and Palestine, that warring will stop. We pray for our own church as we seek for a youth leader, that someone will come forth for this important work. Give help and guidance to Dave, our rector, at this time. Bless those in our church who may be unwell or troubled, that you will be beside them and that you may know their healing. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers in recent days that you have answered. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
And as we prepare to share communion, just God's gift to us, that thin place where God meets with us in a mysterious and just special way. We just come first to share the peace, to get right with each other, to pray God's peace on each other. So why don't we stand? And if you're at home, then do text someone or ring somebody or just pray for somebody. But Jesus said just to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you." Let's share with one another a sign of the peace from a distance. And so we come to just prepare to receive the bread and the wine. And what we do first of all is declare that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And do sit or kneel, and as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Just to say, for those of you who are new, we're going to, just if you come to the front, socially distance, one after each other, or if you're in a bubble, come together. If you can sanitise your hands there on the way in, and then I will just give you drop the wafer, which are being tinctured with wine, into your hands. Normally on Pentecost Sunday we would anoint with oil, but sadly we're not able to do that right now. But what I want to invite you to do is you receive communion today, and perhaps actually take it back to your seats and take your mask off and do it there, is to just make your own prayer of saying, come Holy Spirit. You know, God's Holy Spirit doesn't need us to anoint, doesn't need us to do anything. God's Spirit, that first Pentecost, just came. But if that's what you want, so I'll be praying for you as I give you communion. If that's what you want, then just ask. If you want to ask for healing, for those broken promises, for that word that Joe gave, just ask. And as you take communion, allow God to meet you and fill you and heal you. Let's say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Just to say, on Sunday, if you're watching on Sunday, or on Sunday for those here, we're going to have a second evening of Deeper Thy Kingdom Come special from 6 till 7 here, just an evening of prayer, worship, being open to God. We had a good crowd last Sunday and a good special time, and we are gathering again on Sunday if you would like to come and join us. Before I say the blessing, I want to finish with a special poem. You've got a unique showing of a poem here, which was written only yesterday morning, from Paul Hunt. Paul's been writing some poems, so he wrote one for Ascension, he wrote one for a service that I had up at All Saints the other week, and I rang him up yesterday morning and said, could you write one for Pentecost? And he says, I'll see if it comes. Well, this is what came. And it's a lovely poem to finish with, so just appreciate this and let it speak to you. Tongues of fire on each, can it be on me too? Not more on one than on another, all caught up in something far beyond our mind conceiving. Here is liberation from all the towers of Babel I've tried to build and even to climb. Hear the Spirit releasing my inmost depths, imprisoned by the heart of stone, and now opening my inner eyes to see beyond the seeming appearance of things. Our fleshly selves, oh so fragile, becoming a consuming flame, even if I can't see my own, and yet as gentle as a lit candle. It's all about the unveiling of our sight, enlightened to find in the present moment, in this place where I stand with this breath that I draw into my lungs, a flowing again of Pentecostal fire from the crucified, tortured body on the cross. The water of the Spirit and the blood of life outpoured into the desperate wounds and tears of humanity. Here again, if you can, the murmur of living water on this Pentecostal day, calling to each of us, come to the Father. And so with those words ringing in our ears, let's stand for the blessing, shall we? May God give to you and all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Do wander outside to socialise with each other rather than socialising in here. We're allowed officially to meet in a group of 30 now, so we can mingle a bit more than last week. But if you want to just stay and just continue to be in the presence of God, then do so.